It's good to be back out here again with y'all today. A lot warmer and a lot better weather than last week. And so I thank God for that. Thank God for you being here. Thank you. Thank God for all of you online. Amen. Even as we get deeper into November, even as we see more uncertainty, not just with the coronavirus, but even politically, you would think that there would be certainty now, but there's still not certainty at this moment. And we're just thankful that we can hold on to a God who is certain. Amen. Who we know we can trust. We are in the series called Taboo. T-A-B-O-O. Taboo. And what we are covering this series are topics that we tend not to discuss, or unwritten rules, or things of that nature. The first week we talked about the election. And even before we knew who was going to get elected, the question was, why would God allow a quote-unquote pagan candidate to win? We define pagan as our candidate is more Christian than the other. So when the other person wins, why would God allow that other person to win? And we came from the book of Isaiah, the 45th chapter, and what we discovered was that the reason why God would allow that is so that the world would know that the Lord is in a class all by himself, and that he could use anyone because he is God and he is not limited to what men can or can't do. We left that sermon with this phrase. It was, don't be a sore loser because you didn't lose. Talking about Christians, don't be a sore loser, because if our theology is right, we didn't lose. Then last week we began talking about church clothes. Church clothes. What do you wear to church? What should you wear to church? And we hopped around a few scriptures and dove into those, but what we came out with don't dress to impress, and then don't dress to express. And if you needed to know what to wear to church, what should you wear to church, we left you with the saying, godliness is always in style. Clothe yourself with godliness. So today's topic comes from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. How do you find it? Go to Psalms and just go toward the beginning. You'll pass up Job, you'll pass up Esther, and you'll hit Nehemiah. If you still have questions on how to get there, there's a table of contents in your Bible. Find a table of contents, look in the Old Testament, and you will find Nehemiah. Nehemiah. And once you get to the book of Nehemiah, turn with me to the 8th chapter. The 8th chapter. And once you get to the 8th chapter, we're going to come from verses 1 through 8, but for now what we're going to do is just read the first part of verse 4. The first part, in fact, the first sentence of verse 4. The book of Nehemiah, 8th chapter, verse 4, just the A part. When you have it, say amen. The book, and I'll be reading this. What I'm going to do actually today is read this out of the Christian Standard Bible version, and then I'm going to go and read it again out of the King James version. So I'm going to read this verse twice, and you'll see what I mean. The book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, and the first part of verse 4. Out of the Christian Standard Bible reads as follows. It says, the scribe Ezra stood on a high wooden platform made for this purpose. Now let me reread that from the King James Version. The King James Version of Nehemiah 8:4 reads as follows. It says, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. Today's topic that I'm going to cover is the pulpit. The pulpit. I remember before I became a pastor, reading about another pastor who, like me, had started with a new church, and things were going well. He was getting along with the members. He was making some small changes, some good changes. Things were just, I mean, you could just feel it. Everything was going well. And the pastor thought that, you know, things are going well, I'm good with the church, but it had this pulpit here. And he wanted to implement a new style where instead of having, you know, the big pulpit there, he would have more of like a stage so that he could be able to relate to people more like, you know, kind of like coming out like this, you know, being more relevant to the people. And so he had the pulpit removed, and all the love that that church had for him went straight down the drain. Even to the point where he showed up the following Sunday, and they had put the pulpit back. And from then on, his pastorate at that church was marked with struggle and strife because he moved the pulpit. So as a young and upcoming pastor, I learned, okay, don't move the pulpit. I remember growing up at St. John and even watching some of the kids now. And I remember you can go anywhere in the church. You can go upstairs. You can sit on that side. You can go in the choir stand. You can go anywhere, but the pulpit. Don't go in the pulpit. If you do, you will be in trouble. Yet another example. I remember is even after I started preaching, and there was a woman that was invited to give the message. She was going to be delivering the sermon, and then the topic of the pulpit came up, and I remember we had discussed, well, you know, it's a little awkward for the men to be in the pulpit. Why? Because the woman, if you can view it the right way, if the woman's right here standing up, you know, the men are not that far behind her sitting down. And we thought, you know, that's a little, you know, it might make her uncomfortable. It might kind of look weird. We don't need any rumors where I'm sitting down and looking at her, and then I look at the scripture that she's referring to and then look up. And what does that look like? Oh, Pastor, I thought Pastor was married. Well, and if I was to try to change it, bring it up, oh, now he's taking pictures? So we just decided the best way to handle that, you know, and mainly to not make her uncomfortable, was that when she would preach, that we would respect her presence and to sit down, you know, in the congregation. Well, that leads to another question. Well, when a woman in the pulpit, why y'all not in the pulpit? So again, the common theme is the pulpit. It's something that we don't talk much about, but it drives so much of what happens here at St. John. So the question I wanted to talk about today, which might be able to answer some of these things, is why is the pulpit there? Why do we have a pulpit? What is it about the pulpit that drives people up the wall when the wrong people are there? What is it that causes people to stress out about the pulpit? What is it? Why is the pulpit there? And I want to tell you that out of all the sermons that I have written, this one was one of the hardest ones, because I was trying so hard to search the scriptures for the theology of the pulpit, and it's not there. I tried so hard to find the scripture where God says, let the preacher man stand behind the pulpit and let none else enter. I was trying to find that scripture, but I couldn't. Then I said, okay, well, let's talk about how the early church did it. That didn't help, because the early church didn't have pulpits. They met in homes. Pulpits were something that were added on later. So I'm thinking, Lord, like, what am I going to do about this? And he led me to this scripture, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. And what happened in this scripture is that the Jews were starting to come back from captivity. They were coming back from captivity. You remember in the first week we talked about Cyrus the Great and how he started releasing people back to their land. Well, this is just a little bit later. People were coming back to Jerusalem. The temple had already been built. They just finished the wall, and now they're getting ready to really start to dedicate themselves and dedicate the wall as a nation to the Lord. And in this is where we're at in verse 1. Verse 1, it says, all the people gathered together, Nehemiah 8:1. All the people gathered together at the square in front of the water gate. They asked the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law to Moses that the Lord had given Israel. Ezra, the scribe, was getting ready to read something. He was going to read this book of the law of Moses. And it says, law of Moses. Verse 2, it says, on the first day of the seventh month, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. Verse 3, while he was facing the square in front of the water gate, he read out of it. Now, I know y'all, you know, we talk about how long sermons can be now. I want y'all to read this. He read out of it from daybreak until noon before the men, the women, and those who could understand. all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. So we have this scene set that we have a nation of people that are coming to hear what the Lord has spoken through Moses, through the generations past, the way that they were supposed to act and to be. This is the occasion that they're finally coming back. They're understanding where God has had them and where God has brought them from. This is the occasion. So if you can imagine a nation of people, we're not talking about a small gathering. We're talking about an extremely large group of people. So then here's where verse 4 comes in. It says, the scribe Ezra stood on, my version says, a high wooden platform. The other version says a pulpit made of wood. But listen to this. It says, made for this purpose. Why is the pulpit there? Two reasons. One, the pulpit is there. Why is the pulpit there? To assist in preaching. Assist in preaching. Why did Nehemiah need to stand on that high wooden pulpit? So that people could see him. So that people could hear him. If he was eye level with the people, the word would not have traveled. But since he was on a pulpit, since he stood above the people, the sound can travel faster. So the purpose of the pulpit was to assist the preacher. The purpose of pulpits and churches is really just to assist the preaching. You stand on it, just like I could stand on the steps and talk out like this. It's just to be higher so that you can reach the people. That's it. I'm sorry if that busts somebody's bubble, but this is the purpose. But then, what's the other purpose? We talked about assistant preaching. And number two, why is the pulpit there? The pulpit is there to bring attention to the preaching. Bring attention to the preaching. Verse 5. It says, Ezra opened the book in full view of all the people, since he was elevated above everyone. And then it goes on to say, as he opened it, all the people stood up. And this is where we get our practice of, you know, those of us who stand up for the reading of what God's word, this is kind of where we get it from. As he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and with their hands uplifted, all the people said, Amen, Amen. Then they knelt low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. It was to bring attention not to the pulpit, but to the preaching that happened in the pulpit. Roman Catholics, I don't know if you've ever been in a Catholic mass or a Catholic church, but the pulpit in the Roman Catholic Church is actually put to the side. What's in the center, what's in the middle, is the altar and the sacraments. And that tells you what the Catholic Church prioritizes, is the sacraments, the altar. They take center stage. But the reason that the pulpit is in the middle is because we believe that the preaching of God's word is the main thing. That the gospel of Jesus Christ is what we should be paying attention to. The pulpit is just a tool to do it. The pulpit is not the Holy of Holies. You can walk in and walk out. God is not going to strike you down because you are in the pulpit. I remember this because as a kid, I was so confused because I remember, don't go in the pulpit. Don't go in the pulpit. It's only for ministers. Don't go in the pulpit. But then I would see at the end of church, there would be deacons that would go in the pulpit and, you know, just turn off the light, take down the microphones, get some things cleaned up. And as a kid, that was confusing to me. What? How are they allowed? They're not ministers. I don't get it. But that's because it's not about the location of the Word of God. The pulpit is designed to help the Word of God go out. This is more of like a podium than a pulpit, but this, all this is doing is holding my notes. This is not reserved for me because I am on a holy level higher than everyone else. This is not reserved for me. This is here so I can hold my notes. It helps me to preach. This is not the object of our worship. This is not the most important thing that we have to focus on. The pulpit is just a tool that we use to preach the gospel. But guess what? You may not have a pulpit when you're outside, but the gospel still goes forward. You may not have a pulpit when you're at your house, but the gospel still goes forward. So the pulpit is a tool. It is not a required tool, but it is a tool to preach the gospel. Where am I going with this? When the pastor got reprimanded by the church because of the pulpit, because of moving the pulpit. Yes, there were some things that the pastor could have done better. He could have consulted the congregation. He could have let them know this is what he wanted to do. But what that exposed was that the congregation was more focused on how the church looked than than the gospel coming out from the church. With kids, we're confusing them when we reprimand them because they're not allowed to go in this little space. This can go on and on and on to where people think that, well, if I can't go in that space, but the preacher man can. So therefore, the preacher man must be at a different level than I am. And then we start having this system of who's more spiritual than who's not, who's allowed to go in and who's not. With this issue of women being in the pulpit, it really shouldn't even be an issue, but we make it an issue because we think that the pulpit is only reserved for the male preachers of the Word of God. And so we make a whole issue out of nothing because we have this theology about the pulpit that doesn't really exist. And I am saying this to say, I'm hoping I can clear up some misconceptions about what the pulpit is. It is a tool. Now, should you go running through it? No, but you shouldn't go running through the church either. Should you go walking through it? Well, if there's a bunch of people there and it's going to be kind of hard for you to get around, probably not. It's not because these people are holier than you. The pulpit has been said to be the most important piece of furniture in the sanctuary for the Baptist church. But what makes it important is not because of the pulpit itself. What makes it important is the gospel of Jesus Christ that is preached from the pulpit. Some of you may have noticed, you know, especially when I had the microphone clip, I would walk out of the pulpit, walk among people, talk, go side to side. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not get any less powerful because I stepped off of a platform. It is just as powerful here, as it is over there, as it is on the street corner, as it is in my car, as it is at school, as it is at work, as it is in the grocery store, the gospel of Jesus Christ does not depend on a location. So let us not try to confine the gospel. Let us not try to confine God's power to a location. Because when it's all said and done, it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know my time is short. If we could walk away with anything, just remember, God must always take center stage. God must always take center stage. I know that the pulpit is designed in a certain part of the church, and everything else is designed around it. We know that the seats curve because it's supposed to look at the pulpit. We know that the choir seats are the way they are because they're looking at the pulpit. We know that everything is designed, the whole layout of the church is designed around the pulpit. But it is not because of the pulpit. It is because of the gospel of Jesus Christ that is preached from the pulpit. People that come to the pulpit need to know that Jesus Christ, who came through 42 generations, who was born through the Virgin Mary, who grew up and did miracles and taught everything, but he, the most important thing that he did was die on a cross for your sins and my sins, and that when he died, that he was buried, and that he was buried Friday night, and that he was buried Saturday night, but that early Sunday morning that Jesus got up from the grave. And that there is hope and that there is life in his name. That the drug addict can get clean because of him. That the porn addict can get clean because of him. The ones who are angry can have their anger removed because of him. The ones who are hopeless can have their hearts lifted up because of him. The ones who are crying can dry their eyes because of him. That is the main point. That is the main point. Not the pulpit, but what is preached from the pulpit. God must always take center stage. God must always take center stage. Why is the pulpit there? To assist in preaching and to bring attention to the preaching. It assists and it redirects, but it is not the focus. It's the gospel. Isn't that like us? We're not here to receive the glory. Me, you're not here. You're not supposed to be here to see me. You're supposed to come because I assist in the transmission of the gospel. And I direct your attention to Jesus Christ. So we can all be pulpits. Let me say that one more time. We can all be pulpits. God must always take center stage.